space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hey, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me. Look at me. I'm an old man.
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot.
Thank God I still got my hair. October 26th. What on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Well, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This. It's truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
Flux capacitor stores. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. That says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
six, five, four, three, two, one, zero. Blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
You're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms. And if you scroll down below those four chat rooms, you'll find a link to People for People Radio. Go over there and say hi to those folks and tell them Shaziz sent you. So anyway, how far can you take an idea? Well, I posted some videos up in there of a YouTube channel that I stumbled across here, where a man is actually using a 3D printer to make 3D air engines. And he actually is doing a lot of troubleshooting on there and getting them down to where they'll run on really low pressure, and takes a little bit of input from his subscribers to try different ideas and stuff like that. Also, as well, I posted a video link down there of a solar power assisted electric RC plane. So, basically, I was thinking, of course, that's what I do a lot, I think. Yeah. And that's what I try to get a whole lot of people together who wanted to think, you know, like an idea crew or, you know, an idea factory or whatever. With this technology that we have available to us today, we have an incredible potential to actually engineer some really impressive things. If, you know, the average Joe, the cheaper these 3D printers finally become to where, you know, any household could pretty much have a 3D printer in their house and get an idea and take it from idea to an actual product, you know, using the CAD program or, you know, whatever. Maybe you could actually even just draw it out and then take a 3D picture of it. See, there is a version of software out there that you can actually take a picture of something and it will put all the pieces together into a 3D model and actually build a mesh that your printer could actually understand, and then turn around and print your idea out, you know. Like if you had a particular object that you liked, you could take several pictures of it and then it'd go all the way around this thing and build a 3D model of it and then turn around and print it out. So you can replicate things. It's pretty impressive. Not only that, you can actually size it up and down with this 3D printer. The think tank, Chaziz. Now, Stephen Gibbons said the think tank. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we need. We need a think tank. And so, basically, with the technology that we have access to right now, these computers and, you know, 3D printing and the different types of materials and all the knowledge of science that we've acquired, these things, maybe by themselves, like for example, this air-powered plane that he built right there, you can see how he was sort of struggling, you know, to get very high in the air. And of course, if you think about it, and you start to add in extra, like solar panels, for example, if you combine the solar-powered airplane and the air-powered airplane, and you combined some techniques to build essentially an alternator built into the propeller of the air engine itself, you could actually use the sun to assist that propeller and the air to assist that propeller while, you know, getting your forward motion going on, actually produce a little bit more electricity and have the sun assisting it as well. So you combine all these ideas into one package instead of just trying to do one on air. You have an onboard power source that you could actually help to start putting air back into the tank to, you know, excuse me, to extend the range, so to speak. Now, this guy that made the solar-powered airplane, he had a normal battery pack on there that most of these battery packs are getting pretty good. Different batteries, lithium ions and stuff like that, that, you know, they can get up there for a good maybe 30, 40 minutes, and then the batteries will start running low and they got to recharge and all that. Well, with this solar power deal, he was up there for over an hour or so, and so he basically extended the range. And I think that if you actually took the time to engineer it properly, taking away any unnecessary weight and all that kind of stuff, you could actually get that thing to stay aloft on its own. And with the digital circuitry that's available nowadays, you could probably make an autonomous electric plane. I'm sure that They probably already got one out there. There's probably one that's probably been flying around for a long time. They might have lost track of it or whatever. It might still be flying around out there. Who knows? But nevertheless, the technology is available to do just that. To quite literally make a plane that just flies around, taking pictures, that's it, autonomously, not even having to worry about any battery power or anything like that. It just flies around and wherever the sunlight's at. Excuse me. I'm incredibly tired. But, so you take all these ideas in conjunction with each other, and I believe we could build some pretty impressive machinery. Gotta catch my breath. Anyway, so with the 3D printers, this guy was able to basically take any idea that he had for a single cylinder air engine, and he's actually thinking about working on multiple cylinder air engines. And he was asking for his subscribers to give him ideas on whether or not they think the single perfecting the single air engine or the multi-cylinder air engine would be the best choice. I think it could do either, but my suggestion was that he perfect the single air engine and then work on a manifold system that would allow you to take the exhaust from the first engine to run the second engine to see how many of those you could run in series with each other. Which, you know, if you had on an airplane or something like that, and, you know, you'd have all these propellers that they'd all be running off of each other's exhaust. Steven said you could use a small solar panel to heat a thermocouple with the hot side attached to your cylinder, expanding the air inside. Yeah, that's a good idea as well. Now, what Steven just mentioned right there, there's two separate things that you could actually do with that to put pressure back into that tank. One of which is the Peltier element side like that, because you could extract some electricity from the heat and the temperature difference as it's flying through the air. But also as well, you can use the heat of the sun to actually heat up the inside there to help pressurize that tank as well. You know, so heat expands and cold contracts. There is a video out there a long time ago I watched, and I think I posted it at some point, where a guy took strips of trash bags and he made a solar powered motor that basically when the trash bags got into the sunlight, they would expand, and then when they got on the cool side, they would contract, and that was enough to create the motion that would actually turn this thing around. I'm gonna have to see if I can Google that and see if I can find that and repost that link. But it was let me type in solar powered, I know I had it before, motor. Let's try that. Solar powered motor and see if I can find that. And there's some videos. Anyway, there it is right there. Solar power free energy motor. Not electrical. I'll post this video for you. And see if I can stop it before it starts to play. But it's really impressive how this guy actually did this. Oh, God, come on. I knew that was going to happen. Anyway, I'll post this link in there for you in the super chat, and if somebody wants to drop it over to People for People, you can see what it is I'm talking about. I'm going to go ahead and play this. Doggone it. It's driving me nuts. Watching a commercial. Yeah, skip the ad. Do-do-do-do-do. This is terrible for live radio. Lexus commercial. Alright, there you go. Stop it! Gonna drive me to drinking. Alright, so gotta go through a lot of stuff just to get a doggone link. Especially if you do it live. I should have been prepared for this, but I didn't think about it till the last minute. Anyway, I'm gonna post this link into the chat room, and this basically uses expansion and contraction in order to be able to there's probably some other forces actually going on in there as well. You know, when things get hot, it actually changes the air around it, and if you get hot air and cold air, you get a movement. So there, I posted that link inside there. Thank you for posting that over there at People for People, Stephen. I appreciate that. Anyway, if you're looking at this solar-powered motor here, this guy's made a couple different sizes of this thing. And it basically, it's like using trash bags. And they stretches them out tight on there. And then when the sun heats it up, it causes it to expand, and then when it gets out of the sun, it contracts, and so on and so forth. But it's pretty neat. No electricity is involved in the way that that thing's running. And years ago, there was this during Christmas time, and I still to this day haven't found them. They had a deal that had you put a candle on it. And it had like a carousel above the top of it and a little, fan. And as the candle's burning, the heat rising would produce enough air pressure to turn this little carousel around with these little angels on there. And I still haven't found one of those doggone things. But it's just another one of many ideas. Like, for example, when the heat rises, you know you're going to get an air pressure built up from the heat and the cold air mixing. On any hot surface, you should be able to use that hot surface to actually produce rotation on something like that. Just like this gizmo right here. And so if you think about all the doggone streets out there, even if it's only producing just a tiny bit of electricity, all that electricity adds up. You could actually, store it and then use it and burst afterwards. So there's an incredible amount of energy potential available out there. There's oh God, I'm getting distracted here. Sorry about that. Doggone it. Anyway, back to the original question. How far can you take an idea? Your ideas are only as good as how far you're willing to take them. This air engine idea that this guy had, and the solar power idea that the other guy had, and then even the solar powered motor that the other guy had. These are just, little concepts, but if you took and started engineering all these concepts into a working device, and you shoot for efficiency, like the single cylinder air engine that the guy got. He said it would run at as low as 5 PSI. Now, 5 PSI may not have a lot of torque, but it still has enough speed that with the proper generator, you could actually produce some voltage. Voltage, once again, is pressure. Now, if you take in consideration the laws of thermodynamics and physics and all that kind of stuff, they always say, well, you can never get out more than you're putting in. We're not trying to get out more than we're trying to put in. We're actually trying to use it as in the most efficient manner possible to get the most amount of work done with whatever motion is occurring at any given time. And so even if it's only helping to supplement whatever it is that you're trying to do, if you got an air engine that will turn a propeller at 5 PSI, and you have a solar power, solar panel that will produce enough electricity to turn a pump that will maintain 5 PSI or higher, then you've got a system going on now where you can take the energy from the sunlight, change it into air pressure, and then turn around and use that air pressure to actually turn the doggone propeller, and then use the propeller with a generator style, like an alternator, whatever, on there to actually put electricity back into the system while you're using that thrust. So we're just talking about moving energy from one place to the next. It's not rocket science. And if you understand, with every thing, you got so much weight you can use or whatever, then you can engineer this on a larger scale to cover whatever it is extra weight you're going to be throwing in there. And so with that said, taking in everything from all these different types of, you got a solar panel producing electricity. You got a thermoelectric that you're basically using the heat of the sun to help run a little air engine as well. It's not just the way that the solar panel works that's going to give you electricity. It's the heat that the sun produces as well that can give you electricity. So there you got a 2-for-1 right going on there. And if you take and factor in different types of materials, you could actually build those propellers to grab up static electricity, to build up a static charge while this thing's spinning in the air. Because if you think about all the molecules of gases and stuff, and even dust for that matter, that might be floating around the air at any given time, and you're rubbing these propellers through that air, and you build up a static charge that could also be sent into a storage bank. And the way that capacitors are built, and even batteries for that matter these days, they're getting lighter and more powerful and capable of charge and discharge better. The capacitor technology is brilliant. But let's just take, for example, the capacitor itself. You could actually build the body of the plane to be the capacitor. And the types of materials that are available that are super strong but yet lightweight, everything from aluminum tubing all the way down to carbon fiber and different types of materials like that. And then the geometry of how you actually build. You can take cardboard and make it really super strong by knowing how to what shapes, like arches and stuff like that, and put it all together, and it's super strong. So if you could 3D print an air engine like this guy did right here, then you could actually 3D print the entire structure. So you could make it work. You could have like recyclable airplanes. Everything that you needed for that airplane, you print it out, and then all the other electronics or whatever, right off the store. That's just in airplanes alone. That's not factoring in all the other possible uses of it. One of which would be, if you look at that air engine, when you put an air into the input side of it, it's an engine. If you put thrust or wind power on that propeller in reverse, now it's a pump. You could 3D print a pump, which would be a good water aerator for your pond. So you could 3D print this pump, put that engine up on a pole high enough for the wind to grab it, and then have that that air, that pressure that's produced, go down and put a bubbler with an aerator stone on the end of it in your pond. Keep your pond continuously aerated, which would break down on a lot of keep down a lot of algaes and stuff like that. So there's all kinds of ideas. Ideas are unlimited. But if you could put together a think tank and actually have a place where, as soon as somebody gets an idea, you know, a light bulb goes on in their head, they rush into the lab, they holler for everybody, "Hey, I got this idea, let's try it out." And whether the idea works or whether it does not, everybody pulls together, engineers it, builds it, and now you got a design in front of you that may not work completely. But then that prototype right there could be used to have people troubleshoot that prototype and re-engineer parts of it in order to make the doggone thing work. Steven said, place a heat source beneath one of these and you get a Christmas spinner. Sure, why these are so expensive. Let me check this out. Oh, yeah, that's... this is brilliant. I'm having real hard trouble here. Give me a second. I gotta get some coffee. I gotta slow down my brain so I can slow down my voice. Alright. Stainless steel rotating chimney cap, spinner, anti-downdraft fits most standard chimney posts. What Steven's posted on here is a link. And if you go look at my Free Thinkers video, you'll see one of these on there. And these are pretty brilliant. What they are is they go on the roof of your house. And as your attic fills up with heat, these things will start to spin and actually draw that heat out of your attic. So even on a day when it's not windy, these things will still be turning. And on a windy day, it will quite literally keep the heat out of your attic. So it's a brilliant design, the way that these what would they call, I can't remember what they call, they're basically vents, but they're rotating vents. It says rotating chimney cowl cap spinner. There's another word for these doggone things. I can't remember what the heck they're called. But anyway, as the heat rises, it'll make enough pressure difference between the temperature outside and the temperature that is inside the box, and these things will spin even when it's not windy outside. And so these things right here could actually be modified to actually help produce electricity as well. Now you got to keep in mind, there's not a lot of torque involved in the way that these are designed. And so if your magnets, let's say you put magnets on the ring and then you got coils on there, there's a trade-off. If you keep those magnets far enough away where it doesn't create the cogging effect, but close enough that magnetic field can interact with the coils, you can still produce electricity. And depending on how you take that electricity off of that system will determine any other cogging effect that might be produced by the lens effect. So if you're just using this to actually produce a little bit of power, store it in a bank, pull that energy away from that system, then you'll never slow it down. You'll just let it free spin out there all day long in the heat and during the windy days as well. Oh, man, what in the heck is going on with me? Alright, so I'm like really super tired for some doggone reason. And alright, I'm going to take a quick music break, see if I can get my bearings.
We'll be right back.
God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Hello, everybody. I'm back. Apologize for that. Within the last probably several months, I actually have pushed my body, my mind, and my spirit past its limits. Like, I'm incredibly physically and mentally, probably even emotionally exhausted. I can't believe how tired I am. But it gets to the point where my brain is, like, forgetting to tell my lungs to keep up with my mouth when I'm talking. And so, yeah, I kind of wore out. But that's why I said I needed a vacation. I just, there's so many ideas that rush through my head every single day. And I'm wanting to get these ideas out as fast as physically possible before I mess around and forget them. And that's why we need an idea crew, you know, a think tank like Stephen mentioned. You know, I want to see this world improve for the better for everybody. And, you know, it's like, I know the weight of the world isn't mine to bear by myself, but I'm excited about it. I'm excited about all the technology available out there. And I know how to get free electricity. I know how to engineer these engines to be so incredibly efficient that at the very least it would supplement your electric bill to the extent where it wouldn't be that much of a burden anymore. But in order to get this out to the people, it's going to take some cooperation for people, more people than just myself. There's people out there that have all kinds of tools. I have a few tools. I don't have every tool I need. One of the projects, when I start a project and I get in and I find I ain't got a tool, I either got to try to customize a tool for it, or try to find somebody who does have the tool, or re-engineer something that I'm capable of doing, which is really frustrating. And so, a lot of the projects that I want to do, they get shelved, they get put on the side. And if I had it my way, there would be continuous projects going on. But there would be a lot of people working on them. And every time somebody got an idea, we wouldn't discount that idea. We would take that idea and we'd run with it. We'd see how far we could take that idea. Because every single thing, as far as I'm concerned, if it comes through your brain and you're critically thinking about it, there's no such thing in my mind as a bad idea. You try it. When it comes to designing stuff, there are a lot of bad ideas out there, don't get me wrong. Like the guy that shot himself in the face with a Roman candle for a YouTube video, that was quite literally a bad idea. Now, granted, somebody could have learned something from his bad idea. You know, to learn from bad ideas, and you can make things happen or make things not happen depending on the safety factor or the worth of it. Anyway, what I've been trying to say for a long time, it's never been that we don't have energy. It's never been that energy hasn't been free all along. It has been. We're just utilizing the forces of nature to get work done. And once you understand them forces of nature, then that's when physics comes into play. How you can use a long lever to lift more weight than your body is physically capable of. And so, knowing that, paying attention to all the basic science available, and taking all that, factoring all that in consideration, we're standing at a crossroads right now where we could actually take humanity into an incredible direction. Incredibly efficient usage of resources. Incredibly efficient machinery. To the extent where we could actually blend power sources into nature, where you wouldn't even know it was there unless you was paying attention. All these are possible. Yeah, Gary said he said thought you were taking a break this weekend. Laugh out loud. Yeah, well, that was the intention. I was going to take a break this weekend, but apparently, my wife and I had made prior plans for a couple weeks from now to go to a huge, it's like a swap meet kind of thing. And so that means that I'll be gone on that weekend and won't be able to do a show. So instead of cheating everybody out of a couple weeks, I figured I'd just rough it through this one. And then the next time around, there you go. So that's why I'm here today. Because we already had some plans, and so if I take two weekends, I try not to be away from the radio show as much as possible unless I got somebody to cover for me. But that's not the case at the moment. Anyway, so how far can you take an idea? I believe you can take that idea all the way into infinity and beyond, and you can improve on it. You can add systems to systems to make them so much better. Once I saw this air engine that this man put together, my brain started ticking. How far could you take that? Take that air engine that he showed would actually run at 5 PSI. And then you find the perfect air pressure to run this at. When you're running something at high RPMs for a long time, you're going to generate a lot of friction, which is going to require some sort of lubrication in order to keep the parts from tearing themselves apart when they reach their thermal breakdown. However, there are materials out there that are quite literally self-lubricating. And if you build this out of those types of materials, even those types of materials would have a breakdown point. But if you could find the sweet spot to where you're only running it at, let's say you can run this thing all the way up to 20 PSI and run it for indefinitely without any problems, then you know that 20 PSI is the maximum that you want to build this thing. So that, you know, it could run for short periods of times at 60 PSI, but at normal operating, it's only at 20 PSI. So once you know all the thermal breakdowns of all the materials that you've got involved, your machine's going to be as strong as the very weakest thermal breakdown. And if you get this thing down to where you know you can run this for 20 PSI and it'll cause a little bit of friction, but it won't ever get hot enough to reach its thermal breakdown, you can run this thing indefinitely and it will never destroy itself. It's not possible for it to destroy itself unless it reaches its thermal breakdown point. So it's just a matter of testing. This is the perfect speed at which we can run this indefinitely without any, without enough heat being generated to cause it to fail. So with that said, you wouldn't even need oil in it. If this was a self-lubricating polymer, a plastic or whatever, because if you think about what plastic is actually made of, and you think about the ways that you design this plastic, you know, there's certain types of plastics that are like really slippery on each other. It's already self-lubricated. You could 3D print an air engine and only run it at a certain PSI long term, but then know that you could actually run this thing up at higher RPMs right before you reach the thermal breakdown, and then be able to cool it back down, keep it cool enough so that it would not tear itself apart. This is what we're capable of. And by adding in all these other techniques like solar and thermal and hydroelectrics and even hydraulics and all the different ways in which leverage and gear ratios and everything like that function, you don't have to be some sort of super engineer out there for we the people to be able to take the smartest, mechanical minds that we've got and the smartest chemistry and materials and all that and references through this amazing amount of information that we got access to on the internet. Folks, if we build the dream team in every single village, town, and state, and country, and continent, or whatever, if we build a dream team in every single nation of people just like you and me, we can build think machines, or like Stephen said earlier, think tanks, and designers and engineers that will take all these ideas that we come up with and put them to work. And as far as free energy, it's already been proven. Free electricity is free energy. Now, I can sit here and I can explain why it is that it takes so much power to do what it is that we do, because I understand the physics and the reason why things fail and the reason why all these things like the lens effect occur and eddy currents and why your electric motors end up getting hot and finally they reach their thermal breakdown, which isn't in the copper. The copper has a really high thermal breakdown. It's past its melting point, but it's the insulation between the wire that is the weak point of any electric motor. If you had that thing insulated to where you could quite literally have the copper wire inside there be molten, but the insulator not be electrical conductive, you could run as much current as you want through that wire without ever having it fail. And once you have that understanding of all these, what is actually causing everything to fail, then you can actually scale it back to where it should have been all along, is how much current you're actually sending through a wire. What's its maximum amount of current? Well, the maximum amount of current for any wire is dependent on mostly the doggone insulation. Because that wire really super thin, it's obviously not going to be able to withstand a lot of current, so it will reach its thermal breakdown rapidly. But if you had a really thin strand of wire, and you had an insulation that would withstand extreme temperatures, you could force a massive amount of power down that thin, molten stream of copper wire to create electron flow. And that wire would not break. Even though it's in molten metal state, it would still allow for current to flow. But we don't have to go to that extreme. We could actually design better insulation materials that would not break down fast. That, like, you know, glass, for example. If you had something, some way that you could nano coat every copper wire with glass. Glass is a dielectric that's the best dielectric out there for capacitors. And so that means its electrical breakdown is much higher than everything else. You know, rubber is a really good insulator. But we got materials out there that can withstand a lot of heat. Steven said, instead of Google using their vast computing power to spy on everyone, they could use it to 3D model patents and model the outcomes and compare which would be the most efficient, automatically use the most efficient design. But no, they want to know what brand of peanut butter you like and which party you voted for. That's true. Stephen hit a key point of epic proportions. Google has supercomputers, and there's other people out there who have supercomputers. You can actually Google up a list of the most powerful computers in the world, and you'd be surprised. They got quantum computers. And the computing knowledge in there could take any design that you got, run all kinds of different simulations to find out where every single flaw is in every single machinery and be able to re-engineer this machine to be 100% efficient. And for Pete's sake, even if we only reached 70, 80, or 90% efficiency, it's, especially with the internal combustion engine, any improvement on that is a good thing. But imagine if you had an internal combustion engine that was 100% efficient. Whatever energy you put in that, you're going to get out the other side and get the work done you want. Because that's all we're doing. We're transferring one type of energy to get, you know, that amount of energy work out of the other. However, some of our systems that we're using, they got so many losses in them that it takes you more energy to put in than you're going to get out the other side. You're not getting the equivalence of what you put in out the other side because you got losses in the system. And that should never be the case. Every single generator head out there in existence is capable of producing much more energy than it does. A 2,500 watt generator should be able to run an entire house. But at this stage in the game, it won't. Because of the way you're using that energy. 2,500 watts is a lot of power. But it's very little power when you're talking about how many watts drained from all the inefficient systems that we've got that we're using. If you engineer your heating and cooling, even on a basic level, Science says heat rises and cold air falls. But yet you'll find houses that have both the heating and the cooling either in the ceiling ducts or the both of them in the floor ducts. Now, somebody with some common sense would have shifted the two. At least put a little flap door in there so that your cold air gets guided through the roof and your hot air gets guided through the floor. That is an efficiency that is I ain't never seen. I've never seen anybody run a dual duct system in their house just for that purpose. And if you did, then you would notice that in the summertime, your electric bill would be less because your air conditioner wouldn't have to work as hard. And your heating bill in the wintertime would be better because your heater wouldn't have to work as hard. One little simple concept that you will not find very often in mainstream engineering. It don't make any sense. And so, you know, with that said, even in your automobile, the way that the air conditioning is guided in your automobile, where pretty much it's on above the dash and under the dash and through the dash. But imagine if somebody had enough common sense to run ventilation from that same system guided up through the ceiling of the car. All that heat in the car is rising up to your face level. And if you had cold air falling on you, your air conditioner wouldn't have to work very hard. You wouldn't want it on very long because you'd be freezing your booty off. But even in the auto industry, they don't go that extra step in order to ensure efficiency. Even in the way that the air conditioning actually does its job. There's enough thermal energy wasted on the engine itself that could be transferred in to pressure that in turn could be transferred into cool air. You could design your engine to be one portion of your air conditioning without a compressor pump, is what I'm saying. Steven posted a link in the chat room to a video. $1 solar hot water heater is portable and collapsible. Making hot water using unmodified trash bags, which were later used for their intended purpose. You can't beat the ROI on these DIY solar collectors in cold, cloudy, or windy climates, and additional layer of plastic can be put over the top to hold the heat in like a thermos. Like a greenhouse is what he said, but in the description of that video, he said, someday I will replace these with an incline box and a toilet valve filler to complete with water shower head. Basically, heating water with sunlight and trash bags. Those kind of ideas right there is what I like. I like folks that will take anything out there and they'll find multiple purposes, at the very least dual purposes, for every single thing that we've already built. That's what the think tank would be good at. Every time somebody wants to throw something in the trash, we'd ask them to bring it to us. There's materials available there. Don't throw it in the trash. Paper, plastic, everything. Even chemicals. Because everything has a recyclable value. Everything has the potential for multiple uses. And can be refined into multiple other products. So if you had a think tank, one of the first tasks for the think tank would be to take your trash and turn it into treasure. To develop machinery that would literally take plastics, rubber, some ceramics, any material, if necessary, grind it down, melt it, recycle it, and even using already existing technology to do so. Induction technology would be really good for that purpose, because you could use an induction heater to heat up an old pipe and use that to melt plastics and be able to regulate the temperature to the perfect temperature that would allow you to be able to extract fuel from that plastic. Stephen said, an old saying here is one man's trash is another man's treasure. And that's true. My grandfather used to say that all the time. And I believe it. And I know it's true. I put a call out for environmentalists. And I wanted to get all the environmentalists out there that care about the environment, people that are complaining about all the trash that's in the water, plastic bottles and whatever. And I put the call out, but it never was answered. I put the call out to politicians. Folks, if you look back, and you go through my podcast, and you listen to words I'm saying now, you will hear that I was asking back then to bring these minds together. And so for quite many years, I've actually been begging and pleading the world to come together and use these ideas that I have and others have to resolve all these issues. I had people tell me that I never do nothing. All I ever do is talk. I'm not a builder, folks. While I can build a couple of things, and while my mind works mechanically and I can put some things together to put a concept on the table, I'm not a manufacturer. I'm not what you'd call a craftsman or an artist. My strong suit is to be able to look at something and understand it mechanically, and to be able to convey to everyone in the simplest terms of how this actually functions. And so, you know, people have given me all kinds of trouble about all kinds of different stuff. My redneck wind turbine idea. My God, I took so much flack on that video, you wouldn't believe. And people would come there and they would pick that video apart. Instead of taking that idea and saying, this is the good portion of this idea, but this is what I will change, and doing it, they would come in here and they would say, well, how much electricity is it producing? This ain't free energy. And to them, I say, the heck you say it ain't free energy. I took an old 50-gallon plastic drum and turned it into something that would tap into what the wind was doing. And when it was windy outside, it would be turning. And it cost me nothing but a little bit of time to build that doggone wind turbine. And if you took your idea and you matched it with my idea and you combined the two together, you'd take that wind turbine to have electricity generated at the same time. And if you took other people's ideas and you took the thermal portion of it, because it's you can see in the video, the barrel is black. So it's absorbing heat. So when it's hot outside, you could use Peltier elements and the air around it as a temperature difference to produce yet even more electricity. So, I've been at this for a long time. I've studied every single thing under the sun involving alternative energy. I've studied everything I could possibly study, and I tried to share this information with everybody and his brother forever and a day, and I keep on saying the same doggone thing. We gotta come together. Not the governments, not the companies, not the corporations. They've already got their agenda. They don't care. It's the average Joe who matters. You are the elite team. And without you, there's no way I can get this out to the world. There's no way that I can take these ideas from my head and put them in the minds of the masses out there without your help. I make drawings. If you look on on the podcast page, you'll find drawings of ideas. And even if they may have a flaw or may not have a flaw, I don't know. It's nonetheless, it's an idea up there to be built upon. It's a foundation for a future project. I want people to steal ideas from me, because it's not stealing, I'm giving it freely. Every idea that I got in my head, I'm willing to share with the world. For anybody, he'll take it and run with it. And there are more people like me out here. There are more people who have brilliant ideas that just go by the wayside. Nobody seems to express interest and they soon forget about it. Maybe they'll write it down, then they'll lose track of the paper. Maybe they'll find it years later and try it again. If you only realized how much power each one of you hold, you'd understand why it is that I am here many, many, many years later pleading for you to bring those brilliant minds together. Some of you may not be mechanically inclined, but I guarantee you, like Jermaine Fishwick, he's artistically inclined. Maybe I got an idea, but I can't express it in a photo. But he could. In a picture, you know. And then maybe somebody else can take that picture and put it into a 3D CAD program. And then maybe somebody else can take that 3D CAD file and produce an actual working model in your hand of an idea straight from a brain to a pen to a computer to a product. we could start a people's manufacturing process that would not only help each and every one of you financially, but products available for anyone who needs them. If you got the proper file, you can 3D print a fly swatter, for Pete's sake, with the perfect material that's going to flex and not break. A doggone doorstop made out of recycled plastics. Things that you'd most generally take for granted. There's so many different things that could be made out of plastic, that could be made out of recycled plastic, that you could do. There's nothing would be wasted in the perfect system. In the perfect community, there would be no waste. No waste whatsoever. Because everything would be recycled. That's what nature does. And I've been at this for many, many, many years. I've been called everything under the sun. I even got frustrated about it a few times.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
10, 9, 8, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Be right.
Wow. So I guess that's about all I can say about that is wow. So I'm right in the middle of a conversation, and the next thing you know, my entire house loses power. Wow. You know, if I was conspiratorial, I'd think that was an intentional slap in the face. But nonetheless, hey, we're back. It takes a little while to get back up and going after all that. Everything just shuts off, and hopefully it doesn't happen again so I can finish out this radio broadcast. But it's aggravating. You know, and there's another thing, too. One of the purposes of getting clean, renewable, alternative, free energy was so that just case an emergency like this, that if the power grid from the main power line went down, there would be a backup system after a backup system after a backup system that you wouldn't even notice there was ever a power outage. It would just keep on rolling. You'd think the mainstream would want to be involved in a situation such as that, and we have the technology available to quite literally do that. There are APCs and backup battery sources that the rich and the elite use all the time. They never have a loss of power. They might have just a slight flicker and everything runs as normal. Surge protectors to protect their appliances or whatever. And by now, if I was financially capable, my entire system would be completed. But nonetheless, it doesn't change the fact that we have the knowledge to ensure that life goes smoothly and ensure that nothing is wasted and to ensure that there's one thing that the elite would never be able to hold over our head again, and that's energy. The fuel prices are scooting back up there again. It's like $2.60 a gallon in my area, so it's probably higher the closer you get to places like Texas or California, which is kind of crazy because if a lot of the oil is coming in from overseas, you'd think it'd be cheaper the closer you are to the product. But no, they got to ship it inland to refine it and then ship it back out, so therefore the people closest end up paying more. So, power outages like we just experienced here on the Mad Science Show are unnecessary. And if they understood the process of refining battery, they could actually use the process while the ship is actually transferring oil products from one place to the next. The ship itself could be a refinery. And we don't even really need to be transferring oil from one place to the next. There's more than enough resources available here just in what we've wasted. There are products on the market right now where you can make biofuel. But they're not commonly known about. The processes, if you've ever paid attention in science, are commonly known about. Gasification systems and methods by which to make methane and such. There's a scene in Back to the Future where, you know, Doc Brown, he's digging in the trash when he comes back to pick up Marty to go back to the future. And he's putting trash into Mr. Fusion. Right there in that movie, they showed you the future. They showed you what is possible. But they never ever take it to the extreme to actually put those types of products on the market. We live in a carbon-based world. And they're always talking about, you know, fossil fuels and hydrocarbons and all that kind of stuff. And if you understand what crude oil is. And then this whole craziness about it's a bunch of dinosaurs that rotted that made the oil. It's a lie, people. It's a bold-faced lie. And anybody who really paid attention in science class knows that. And anybody who understands the physics of CO2 knows that it's not man-made causing climate change and craziness. Some people say our sun is acting up and so it's going to be spitting out coronal mass ejections, which could cause electromagnetic disturbances, which could mess up or mess with electronics and electricity and all that kind of stuff. If that's the case, we could have been prepared for it years and years and years prior to right now. There's a lot of brilliant independent researchers that don't get a fair shake when it comes to whether it be like, you know, if you want to go as far as talking about government grants to do research. Or, you know, even if it's independent researchers that are, you know, supported by other, you know, individuals. When I talked about building the dream team, I was talking about you. You are the dream team. You're the missing piece of the puzzle. You're the one that could actually make it so that everyone could have free electricity. The ideas and the concepts are so vast. And there's so many brilliant researchers and so many creative individuals out there that if you ever tapped into your true potential, there ain't nothing we couldn't accomplish together. Maybe that message is why my power went off. Who knows? Maybe the government don't even listen to me. Maybe they don't even know I exist. I don't know. Maybe there ain't no grand conspiracy. Maybe it was just somebody overloaded the power grid or somebody ran into a power pole. But nonetheless, in the middle of an important conversation to we the people, I lost power. Everything went down. Took a while to get it back up. But now I'm back with the same message that I've been spouting off for years. We have an opportunity to create a new world. And we have an opportunity as we the people to control the destiny of which direction that real world goes to. We don't need some one world banner or one world government or one world ideology or religious. We just need a one world idea machine. One that ain't based off of greed and ego and all the craziness. See, that's the downfall of humanity, because humanity decided it wanted to build a giant ego so that everybody who had an idea could have everybody else thinking the best of whatever about them. You're so incredibly smart. You know, I got a lot of good ideas. And I got a lot of hopes for humanity. And I got a huge heart to match. But these ideas that I talk about, they're only as good as people are willing to build them. You know, there are people out there who take advantage of people that needs something. Everybody needs electricity in this day and age to be able to have air conditioning and all the luxuries of life. Everybody who doesn't have access to that should have access to that. We have the capability to give it to them. You know, guys and organizations like the Kishi Foundation that gone around stealing from people, lying and getting them into some hoodoo voodoo version of energy, telling everybody crazy stuff like you gotta love your reactor in order to get free electricity. If you're a jerk, you don't get no free electricity. Those are the ones who set this process back. Maybe generations, who knows. People like yourself are the ones who could get it back on track. The real deal, the real free energy. I said, I aim to prove energy's free, and I meant it. As far as I'm concerned, I have done just that. And as far as electricity, I know how to get free electricity. And it ain't by stealing it from somebody else. It's about understanding how electricity actually is generated or tapped into. All these frequencies that everybody keeps talking about, energy frequencies or whatever, and all the mystical and magical things that frequencies can do, and to understand life itself and that you yourself are energy. If you only understood the power that just one person has within them. If you only understood how much power your brain is capable of. You want to reach a higher stage of enlightenment. It's not as hard as you think it is. All you got to do is start to pay attention. Because this world will talk to you. This world will teach you what you need to know in order to survive. This world will teach you whatever you need to know in order to be able to thrive and enjoy life and enjoy all the fruits of your labor. Every single thing out there has a process, and with a proper understanding, you can get this planet to work for you. It's what it was trying to do all along. But then you threw the monkey wrench into the machine. The day that you just drove down the road and threw your trash out the window, you pretty much spit right in that machine's eye. When you started digging massive holes to shove in garbage, tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of garbage, and you kept on digging in other places for materials to make the same materials that you just shoved in the hole, nature had to work harder. And you kept moving resources from one to the next and inefficiently trying to extract more from another just to create the same thing that you threw in the trash. Folks, I'm trying to get an awakening of a different type going on in this world. I'm reaching out to every single person that even remotely cares. I'm not a doom and gloomer. I don't sit there and tell you we're going to have an apocalyptic, we're all going to die from pollution and radiation and all this craziness. Where it is a possibility. but it's not inevitable. What I'm trying to say is I'm trying to reach out to the complainers of this world. The people that say that they're seeking solutions but neglect to pay attention to the response, the ideas. There are brilliant engineers in this world that if we could actually put them together, guys like me and others like me that see things mechanically. I know I'm not the only one on this planet that sees things the way that I see them. We're waiting to be heard. That artist that draws the beautiful pictures and paintings and sculptures, they're waiting to be seen and they're waiting to be heard. The machinist, the welder, the electrician, the carpenter. If I could get that awakening to happen, and people would begin to come together, you would see this world change so rapidly. And you would see the power structure of the world begin to fall. The people would take charge of their own destiny. It's as simple as that. If you want free energy, then it's time for you to take it. There are no questions that have not been answered. We have every single piece of the puzzle necessary to build the perfect world. The only missing ingredient in this entire thing is the most important ingredient in this entire thing. And that's you. If this message made it in through your ear and into your mind, and you understand that it's true what I'm saying, I've only ever asked one thing of anyone listening to my voice, to this show, or watching my videos. I only ever ask one thing. Take this podcast, pass it on. Take this message and pass it to somebody else. That's it. And my brain's here for the picking. You got a think tank and they want to hear what I have to say, I want to share it. This is what I've been trying to do all along. There are incredible, incredible things that we can share with each other. Things that you once might have thought to be science fiction are now science fact. And those folks that want to keep you in the tunnel, you know, or in the maze, they want to sell you something. They want to control what you think. They want to control what you buy, what you believe. And I don't want to sell you nothing. I just want you to free your own mind. I want you to step outside the box and look at what I put down before you. And you and me together can build a better world. We don't have to throw our trash in the trash because it ain't trash. It's resource. The garbage dumps of the world is an untapped resource, except by the few. Those who finally got it understood that everybody else's trash become their treasure. There are a lot of people out there that go what we call here in the United States dumpster diving. They collect up all kinds of electronics and all kinds of things that other people discard because it might have a scratch on it or might not work so well anymore. And then other people will see this big pile of junk that they got laying over there and said, "Hey, I need a part off of that. Would you mind selling that to me?" And so that person that was digging in the trash that found that particular piece of equipment that had a good part on it just profited from somebody else's discarded trash. If the governments of the world would listen to guys like myself and others like you, if common sense would ever rule the day, we could take all the resources from every single war and focus them into making the perfect world. Nikola Tesla believed that if he could give the world free energy, that we would never have to worry about war again. And it's true, because that's what they were fighting over. His dream and his vision of what we could have accomplished by now, had anybody would have paid attention to him. Now don't get me wrong, people paid attention to him, but for their own good. They stole his ideas and marketed them, and basically tried to make him seem crazy. But his brilliance stood the test of time, because his name is still being spoken. A man from Serbia, known all around the world as Nikola Tesla. That's why you see a lot of pictures of Tesla around on my YouTube channel and even on this right here. Because that was one of the biggest inspirations of my life, that man. The things that he was working on. Now I hope that somehow or another, all these years that I put information on the table for people, benefited somebody in a good manner. I had to go about this journey in the craziest possible way because there was so much resistance to free energy. Merely saying free energy already puts you in a category of the loony, of the tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy nut. There's got to be a reason why Stan Myers and John Bedini and his brother and Searle and all the other names, Joseph Newman and countless others who had come across energy efficiency or even free energy for that matter, there's got to be a reason why none of them are with us anymore. Guys like, who was that dude? John Hutchinson. Something happened to that man. I mean, he started off with a lot of brilliance and something happened to him that just sent his world into this crazy, insane thing. I don't know what. But I started off watching his stuff, paying attention to everything all these researchers were doing. Gerard Morin out there, he's another one of the researchers I watch, but he's so angry at the world and all he can do is use filthy language to try to get his message across, and he's just angry. because nobody pays attention to his brilliance. They'd rather sit there and tell him how stupid he is and make him mad. And there are the researchers out there that I've mentioned on there. If you go back and listen to podcasts, you'll hear people that I've named time and time again, some of which don't even talk to me anymore because for some reason or another they think I'm insane and they hate my guts. And because I said something that was totally taboo, I don't care about current watts and amps. You don't need current watts and amps to do what it is that I'm talking about. Was I saying you could totally discount that measuring scale from the whole grand scheme of things? No, what I was saying is that the type of energy that I'm talking about is not reliant on a massive amount of power input. If you can get a massive amount of heat out of a high frequency wave enough to cook your potatoes in your doggone microwave oven, and if you understand the process of how that energy was transferred from the AC current that came from your wall through the transformer primary into the secondary and ramped up to high voltage and a high frequency, so you had a little bit of current heating up an element, and then on the top of that, the high voltage would be shooting across the same line producing a microwave. So you got two things happening in there. One of which is heating the element using the high frequency of the voltage in the secondary, and the other is the actual frequency itself releasing electrons inside of a vacuum that in turn uses the magnetic force of two permanent magnets to cause that to spin around and then send those electrons in the form of a electromagnetic wave, a short super fast wave called a microwave, and then into that waveguide system down into that microwave and bombards the water molecules and anything that you've got in that microwave, producing friction, which in turn produces heat and cooks your food. And if you understand the entirety of what I just explained to you, then you can cut that first part out. Instead of using 120 volts AC, you can use a 12 volt car battery to do the same doggone thing, because you don't need the current watts and amps in order to produce the type of frequency necessary to energize the magnetron and cause the heat and release the electrons. All you need is the voltage at a high frequency to do the same exact job that you had to produce 120 volts or 220 volts AC at so many watts or whatever to run the primary, which is your first loss. Through the process of induction, energize the secondary, which is your second loss. Without the primary, you could have turned the secondary itself into the primary and done the same job with less input and be able to still cook your food. So, with that said, somebody who understood this changed the microwave. These modern day microwaves no longer have a giant transformer inside of them. They use circuitry and different coil systems to do exactly what I just explained to you. Making that microwave more energy efficient. I'm trying to think, it's like a flyback driver that the modern day, I'm trying to think of the terminology that the modern day microwave, it just won't come to my mind right now. But essentially, it's a flyback driver. basically what you'd find in a Slayer exciter circuit. It has transistors that pulse coils at a rapid rate with a smaller input and are able to produce the same effects in the microwave that the old one that had to have the transformer did. I'm just going to have to Google it because I can't for the life of me remember what the technology in the newer microwaves called. Alright, I'm typing. Let me see here. Microwaves could finally replace the current. Let's see. What they call it now? Oh! I just can't seem to find it. There it is, right there. Panasonic countertop microwave with inverter technology. What I just explained to you on how to make a microwave more efficient, somebody else has already monopolized on. It doesn't take the amount of power to run the modern day microwaves as it did the older ones with the doggone transformer in there. And even the inverter technology utilized in the modern microwave could be improved upon because of certain ways that they actually produce the doggone energy in there. They still have losses in the modern day system. You can make the Panasonic new microwave, you can make it better. You don't need the amount of input that is actually goes in there, because if you actually look at the microwave, you got to plug it into the wall to get to 120 or 220 depending on which area you live in, and then that has to step that voltage down to run the circuit board that is capable of running off of so much less power, and it produces a high frequency wave that in turn not only heats up the in the magnetron but releases the electrons using the same frequency and produces the microwave that you're accustomed to cooking your food with. So every doggone thing necessary to get to the perfect efficiency is right there. Everywhere. You're talking about hot water heater systems that will run on so much less power input. And the more efficient these appliances become, the less energy demand is from the power company. They're going to want to try to start jacking their prices up the less power that you're using, because otherwise they're going to start to go out of business. And if you start implementing these in each and every one of your homes, they're not going to make very much money. That's why the whole energy saver thing is a big misnomer. Sure, they might make energy saving appliances, but they don't want them to be perfectly efficient. Otherwise, they won't make any money off the power that is necessary to run them. But if you understand the science and the physics of how they're actually run, your modern day microwave oven could be basically re-engineered to run off of solar power, stored battery power, stored capacitor power, and you could turn the microwave itself into quite literally a power plant. You could turn all this energy from a microwave oven into enough power to run your doggone house. And all you have to do is have enough power to get that process of the microwave started. And that's not, that doesn't even scratch the surface of the capabilities of the technology that we have available to us right now. You know, we've been boiling water for years to produce steam, to run locomotives and boats and power plants for years. And we had to burn a lot of coal and wood and gas and even nuclear power in order to boil water. But you have the capability right now to quite literally build your own reactor that will use any of the noble gases to produce enough heat to boil that water instantaneously. And even using the microwave technology, which is quite literally what the reactor that I'm explaining is doing, is because it's using a high frequency, high voltage wave going in to bombard gas particles that will energize them into the fourth state of matter, being plasma. And inside that plasma, just like science says, light is heat and heat is light, vice versa, that plasma is heat. And at the heart of that heat, you can extract that energy and you can use it to on demand boil water, or you can use it in on demand to literally ignite water. Science says that water is hydrogen and oxygen, both of which are fuel. And so if you can, you can boil the water, or you can cool the water down, you can use the water for your hydraulics, you can use the pressure from the steam to run turbines, you can use the hot water for washing purposes. Water is the magical element on this planet. It is the most stable, most powerful, and can be the most destructive molecule on this planet. And it is in such great abundance that there is no way possible that you're ever going to run out of it. No way. Even their own physics say that. They say that energy can neither be created nor destroyed, but it can be changed. And so if you take that water molecule and you understand that what you do with that water molecule will determine the reaction that you will get as a result, if you need steam pressure, you boil it. If you need hydraulics, you cool it down. And so on and so forth. You could use the water to run hydraulic lift systems, and then you could take that water out of that system as you're releasing the power, introduce fresh water into that system. And then you can take that water and you can boil it into steam and you can purify it, send it right back into the same system. In the process, while you heat that up and the water turns into a gas, now it can be compressed and it can be energized into the fourth state of matter. You can do so much with this water that it is mind-blowing. And so, all these processes, once you understand the basics of what I've just said to you, you have had free energy in front of you all along. Stan Myers back in the 70s was running a dune buggy on water, and there are people who will try to argue till they're blue in the face that no, that don't know how that worked, because they didn't understand the water molecule. They didn't understand science. But science is telling you one thing out of one side of their neck and telling you something completely opposite out of the opposite side of their neck. And folks, that's just water. That's just water alone. That's not even counting all the other materials out there. If you understand the physics and the science and the chemistry of all the other materials out there, we have more power than we could ever use in a trillion, 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 quadrillion to infinity and beyond lifetimes. And And I don't know how to motivate the world and inspire them to have that understanding. We could make this world so incredible. So incredible. If I could get everyone out there listening to tell one person, if I get everyone out there to have that person tell another person, listen to this crazy haired guy talk. Listen to what he has to say. And try it. You don't need no Keshis. You don't need no other people out there trying to sell you free energy devices. You just need to go back to school and learn basics. There's not one person out there that's not smart enough to understand what it is that I'm saying. If you understand how water travels, then you understand how electricity travels. Energy is the same. The forces of nature are universal. And you don't need some sort of fancy ceremony to get this electricity to work for you. They said that for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. They said that you could never get out more than you put in. They said a lot of stuff. None of which empowered the people to believe in themselves. That you're the one that are capable of making this world better. But you can't do it by yourself. In every single fancy Swiss watch or any type of machinery, there are gears and cogs and machinery and processes going on. You take one of those out of the picture and the machine fails. See, the ultimate secret of humanity and where we could actually go, see, the biggest hidden joke of all is that there is no way that we will ever succeed until we finally get it that we are part of the machine. We're part of the big picture. Together we win, and divided we fall. Wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famine and pestilence are a choice. You live in a miserable world because you choose to live in that miserable world. That's the secret of life. You suffer because you choose to suffer as a society. As an individual, you want a better way, and it's up to you to convince those out there who want a better way to join you in your endeavor to set forth on a journey to show by example of what could be accomplished. My quest to find free energy is over. I know what I need to do in order to get all the free electricity for every single household and building and machinery on this planet. I know what it will take. And I also understand that with that comes a lot of responsibility and many dangers. Because it's not the process, it's the system that you have to fear. It's the people that provide the resistance to giving the world what it is that they claim that they wanted all along. I begged and pleaded for all the environmentalists of the world to come to the table. I wrote written letters to senators and congressmen and people of all different places and research and all that, and I've offered to help them in any possible way to take all this that's in my mind and to pass it on to everyone who wants to hear it. I would have thought that this process would have been a lot easier, but it's not, because we're still at war. It's not because the independent researcher is still under attack. It's not because we're still filling landfills by the tons. There are examples of other nations who finally begin to get it and then finally understood that they want people to bring them their trash because they're running out of their own trash to burn. Energy is free, people. No ifs, ands, or buts. I challenge anyone on this planet who wants to sit down and have a debate about free energy and the capabilities and the possibilities of where we could actually take this world if we chose to do so. You bring your most powerful skeptic to the table. And you listen to that exchange. You're going to know right out of the gate that each one of these people who believe themselves to be so highly educated that they would not entertain some thought outside the box, you're going to know those people right out of the gate. They're going to use filthy language. They're going to get frustrated. They're going to tell me how stupid I am. But what they will not do is pay attention to what I just said. They'll only pick it apart. I challenge anyone on this planet to sit down and have a talk. We got so much to offer each other, but yet we choose to take this down the hard road. I want to see this world better. I want to see the future generations be able to live in quite literally a heaven on earth. And whether you believe in a higher power or not, doesn't matter. It's that if you want to live in a world without all the crazy, if you want to live in a world that has overabundance and that everyone's cared for, however you think we got here, doesn't matter. It doesn't change the fact that scientifically and in real time we could actually make this world so incredible. I believe that was our initial purpose. That's why we're here, to see how far that we can actually go. There's been failure after failure in the history of time. We've built machines that cause destruction. We built bombs. We built machines that didn't go right. Nuclear power plants that ended up having a hydrogen explosion. And a lot of stuff was learned. But just as much was ignored. But imagine what we could do with the knowledge that I'm speaking about. It's not knowledge that I myself hold in my head. It's knowledge that you, for years, have been sharing with me and researching. It's knowledge that people like Stephen Gibbons finds links and pictures and photos and all kinds of stuff and puts them in the chat room and people on Skype and people over there, People for People Radio, and everybody who has contributed to all these alternative networks for all these years. It's the instant resource where if I say something on the radio, somebody has already found a link to it. Now you got the researchers, now we need the constructors, we need the artists, we need the machinists, we need the welders, we need the carpenters, we need the people who actually are out there on a daily basis doing their own job trying to survive in this world to come together. And you would hear people say, well, you know, I work too much and I ain't got enough time. Well, folks, OSHA Ziz has been doing some things behind the scenes that would blow your mind. I pushed myself beyond the physical limits of my body and made myself so incredibly tired and even somewhat ill. But I know that if one man can do what I've been doing, imagine what 100 men could do a lot faster. Imagine what 1,000 men could do a lot faster. There are supposedly 9 billion people on this planet, somewhere give or take. My YouTube channel alone says I have 8,370 some odd subscribers. All of them looking in to see what OSHA Ziz is going to come up with for free energy. And the moment I put all that down on the table for them, they'll all wander away. And hopefully they take something good with them. But the thing is, if that 8,370 some odd people would come together and take all their knowledge, even the ones that are sitting there trolling or agitating or telling you how stupid you are or thumbing your videos down, if they would focus their research, their resources and their talents into that same project, imagine what 8,371 people could do. I already know what I need to do in order to get completely off the power grid. I already know what it will take. And I know the price. And I'm not talking financial. I'm talking safety-wise. That the moment everyone else out there on this world sees what I've done, I will be a target. No ifs, ands, or buts. Unless somehow this knowledge is in every single person's head out there, then I'm no longer significant because everybody knows. And if you followed me long enough on my YouTube channel, and you've heard certain key parts And I got a good idea that there's a lot of you that already understand what it is that I've been doing all along. Tapping into the world's resources and getting the information out there to other people out there is not as easy as you might think. Whether it be power outages or people hacking your networks or whatever kind of trolling goes on, you think that these people out there who are in charge don't pay attention to what you're doing? They pay attention. They pay attention when large crowds gather and they get concerned. So what better way to keep a crowd in line is to send a couple agitators into the crowd to bust it up. Next thing you know, you got to send in the lawman. Nobody wants to be hanging around while the lawman's fighting with somebody or trying to take somebody to jail. They just wander off. So they know how to disrupt a crowd. And you think they do it and take their time and resources to do so? Well, then you don't understand control. I've been controlling, manipulating mankind for a long time. And they're getting really good at it. I want something for this world. I want something so much better than what I've seen for people. I want to do something really profound. There are people in this world that can't even get a fresh drink of water. And it drives me insane. There are people in this world who are hungry. And it drives me to madness. There are people in this world that repeat the same doggone mistakes over and over and over again and continuously keep our nations at war. There are many, many, many more of us than there are of them. And for anybody in this world to have to do without, it's not only a shame, but it's ridiculous. I spend a lifetime of listening and studying and watching and learning. And I'm trying to take every bit of that knowledge out of my mind and put it out there in this thing we call the World Wide Web. If you go on the podcast page, you will find hundreds a podcast, both Knights of the Round Table and Mad Science as well. Alternative energy, alternative ideas of our every kind of aspect going back for years. Every bit of it was for a reason. Now in the Knights of the Round Table, like lots of times, I will play that Bug's Life little clip where the grasshopper's telling the other grasshoppers why it is they got to go back for that one ant. Because if you, those ants, you said outnumber them 100 to 1, and when they realize that the grasshopper's way of life will change. Some of you don't like the government. Some of you don't like the system. Some of you don't like the courts and the law enforcement. Some of you don't like the way that your leaderships treat you and your others and all the regulations and things that keep you oppressed. And some of you reach out and you build little gangs to try to do something about it. in order to do something about it, some of you even resort to violence. But very few in this world have ever figured out that if you bring each other together in a constructive, peaceful fashion, with all your gifts and talents, there's nothing that you can't accomplish with all the resources that are so incredibly abundant on this place that we call Earth. There's no problem that cannot be solved. There's nothing. No diseases. Nothing that cannot be solved. We have the power at our disposal to quite literally bring about a heaven on earth if we choose to do so. It is our free will. Instead of allowing a power structure to send our children to war, we should be coming together and to prevent our children from coming to harm. There are people out there that do terrible things to the children. They don't just hurt the children. They hurt the world. They hurt society. And they even hurt themselves. Somehow the good people of this world got to turn that darkness on its ear. They need to turn that darkness upside down. In the terms of electricity, once you turn on the light, it's no longer dark. One candle in the darkest cave will defeat that darkness and at least push it back. If there are 9 billion people on this planet and only a small fraction of them, 1 or 2%, are the elite of the world, and the rest of them are the candles, you let your light shine. And it'll be so doggone bright out there that all the roaches will have to scurry and run for their lives. What I'm proposing to the world is like what Stephen said. A huge think tank with an army of constructors, fabricators, engineers, carpenters, electrical, plumbing. You guys, if you could only understand that you are a gold mine, that the system has been tapping into for generations. They don't mind training you enough to do the job. They want you to go to college and give them thousands of dollars for the luxury of being one of the educated. They want you in debt. They want you to consume. They want you to fight amongst each other. They want you to be divided. But now that you've got those skills in your mind, you got your degree, you got gold. You are gold. You know everything that there is that they wanted you to know about electricity. I'm here to teach you the rest. Some of you, you don't understand that you are your worst critic, your worst enemy. You know, the Mad Science Show was basically conceived to go out there and fight against a science community that had gone awry. The mainstream scientists don't care. They want to get the grant for their research. They want to keep the gravy train rolling, and in order to keep the gravy train rolling, they're willing to bend the truth. They're willing to do things that could potentially be life-threatening to the world just to hang on to their lifestyle. Their notoriety and their peer-reviewed trash. The people want to say that I practice pseudoscience. That's one of the denigrating or degrading words that they like to use to say that you don't know what you're talking about. Pseudoscience. Let me tell you something, folks. Every one of you out there right now who is listening, paying attention and observing and testing are practicing real science. The scientific observation of whether or not something is repeatable, falsifiable, or whatever. You are the real scientist. And in the case of our lifestyles, we are the mad scientist. Not because we're crazy in the head, which some of us may be, including myself, but because we're angry that all the science that we see before our very eyes is actually being utilized to keep us oppressed and pitted against one another. And it's only going to get worse unless we choose to stop it. The new technology in quite literally mind control or transmitting information signals into somebody's head directly. It's there. And the door to getting out of this crazy maze that we're all find ourselves in is closing rapidly. I don't believe that we the people have more than a year or two before we have no choice at all to do what needs to be done to make this world a better place. Am I saying that that's when doomsday hits? Not in the sense of a world destruction as far as, you know, we blow our planet up and we all die. No, the world will go on. It'll just be your control. It'll be George Orwell's 1984 on steroids. You can see what I'm saying in the way that people treat one another. Go read the comments on YouTube in alternative energy, alternative medicines, and everything, even alternative news and alternatives to everything that the system is that kept everyone in the state of mind that they're in right now. I don't know how to send a wave out to the world to get them to want to share these podcasts. You know, I understand that, because even when I listen to myself, sometimes I sound like a loudmouth know-it-all. Sometimes I can't even stand to hear what I have to say. But I've been doing this for so doggone long that sometimes I'm in a spin because I don't understand why things haven't changed. I see on a regular basis people designing stuff like that air engine that I posted a link over there in the chat room, the superchat.html, about the guy that built the 3D printed air engine. That one idea he took from an idea to a working model. Even that can be expanded on. And the guy that made the airplane to use solar on the wings to supplement that, it could be expanded on. These don't even scratch the surface of all that we have available to us in order to ensure that every single household out there has all the energy necessary to keep it cool when it's wanted to be cool and keep it warm when it's wanted to be warm. And to do everything that we do right now without causing any harm to nature, just blending right in. In every city dump, in every trash pile, in every trash receptacle on this planet is a gold mine. If you think about all the products that you use any given day all year long, and you calculate up what it is that you spent on that, even if you just took the aluminum by itself and recycled it, saved it up like a piggy bank till the end of the year, separated your trash into papers and anything that was biodegradable, compostable, you could turn all of that trash into treasure. Every last bit of everything thrown away has a purpose. And if properly engineered, you could literally design the perfect trash compactor that would separate it for you. You wouldn't even have to think about it. Just throw it in the trash and let the machine do the rest. Let nature do what nature does. In the ultimate grand scheme of things, this is all just talk until it's put into action. People said, we're looking for solutions. Matter of fact, the first radio station that I ever started talking on was about seeking solutions. And yeah, I've had people say, well, you know, you keep saying this and saying that, and all you do is talk, and, you know, when are you going to do something? They're expecting me to build the holy grail of free energy devices and just hand it right over. But the thing about it is, I've already told them over and over and over and over and over again how to do it. When my house goes off the power grid, I'm going to do it with style. It's going to make the news. Because ain't nobody ever going to see it coming. And the moment I do that, every single bit of that information at the same exact time that I shift from their power to mine is going to go out worldwide. That way, once Pandora's box is open, once they see what it is that I just showed them, there ain't no way of pulling it back. And there ain't no way of putting it on the market for one person to get rich. It's kind of like that old saying what I keep talking about. You can't sell a widget if every single person already owns a widget. You can't sell electricity if everyone on the planet knows that it's free. That's my plan. And that's the way I'm going to go about it. I'd like to see things happen a lot faster. I'd like to see an end to the wars. I'd like to see an end to the madness. I'd like to see people come together. That's why I built this platform called ShazizRadio.com. And actually, there's a Shaziz.com and a Shaziz.net. Shaziz.net is on standby for a very special purpose. And the moment everything's a go and I have my green light, Shaziz.net's going to come online. It's right there idling right now. Shaziz Radio is a tool. Shaziz.com was a tool. Shaziz.net, that's the one to keep an eye out. Because just like power outages, just like all these cyber attacks and all the trolling and all that, if they know something's on the way, well, they might know how to plan. But if they ain't got a clue in which direction it's coming from, well, you let your mind decide. Folks, you've been listening to Mad Science. And if you're listening over to People for People Radio, tell somebody old crazy here at Shaziz said hi. There's a secret to be told, and it's coming, and there ain't no way that those little small percentages of elite are going to shut it down. I ain't worked this hard all these years for nothing. Share this podcast if you like what I said. Share the podcast if you want to make the world better. Chop it up and take the best of what you got. Take anything on this site. Chop it, cut it, put it in any kind of video or any kind of podcast or whatever. And if you can find any environmentalists that want to sit down and have a talk, if you can find any of the elitist of the world or any of the doggone so-called representation, anyone out there in any kind of power structure or industry or lack thereof or whatever, and even if it's just a group of individuals who want to sit down and talk about free energy and solutions, I'm always involved in that kind of deal if it's got anything to do with making this world a better place. Give me a call. Add me as a Skype contact if you like. Call in the show. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.